Federal contractors are out of luck if they're unhappy with large-dollar civilian agency task orders. Industry's recourse to protest these RFQs on popular vehicles such as Alliant, Eagle II, Oasis, T4NG, and many others are now limited, and contractors can thank the Senate for putting them in this position. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about why contractors are in a new and tough position when it comes to civilian agency task orders, and he joins me now with more. And Jason, we're not talking about prime contracts, but task orders under the big GWACs.
The GWACs or any kind of multiple award contract except for, and this is very important, GSA schedules. We're not talking about GSA schedules here, but for instance, if DHS puts out something through their Eagle contract, which is considered a multiple award contract, let's say it's worth $30 million over you know 3 years or something, and a vendor's unhappy with how DHS is going down this path, or the award DHS made, before September 30th, that vendor could protest that award or that contract to the Government Accountability Office. As of September 30th, or I guess as of October 1st, that ability of GAO to hear the bid protest of task orders for civilian agencies has expired, and that's why they're out of luck.
So that means that technically or legally, a task order doesn't count as a contract, at least in the Senate's view.
Well, it's not that it doesn't count as a contract. Remember, Tom, that the GAO received this bid protest authority back in 2008-2009 timeframe. They reaffirmed it in 2011, and it always had a sunset date. And what Congress did was they extended the sunset date, and there was a push by the House to permanently give GAO this authority, but there's some in the Senate who are saying, whoa, let's slow this down. We're not sure we want the GAO to have this authority, not just permanently, but even at all anymore.
So does this sunsetting presage some wider look at reform of the whole protest issue?
You know, it seems to. If you just read the Defense Authorization Bill for 2017 and specifically the Senate, there are three provisions in there that really take aim at this bid protest authority for GAO, specifically around task order contracts. And in my reporter's notebook today, Tom, I lay out those three sections. Let me just go through them very quickly. Section 819, for those people keeping score at home, actually would prohibit the use of bid protest to GAO if the Secretary of Defense has appointed an ombudsman to review complaints related to task and delivery orders. Now, the interesting thing about that is every agency already should have an ombudsman for task and delivery orders. So what the Senate basically is saying is that if this position exists and you have someone in there, GAO no longer has the authority. Everything has to go to that one person.
Just a quick question about the ombudsman. Can that person overturn a task order? Do they have any power to change it?
Correct. They would hear the protests or hear the concerns levied by vendors, but that's a big difference than GAO. I mean, this is a prime position for GAO, which this is what they do all the time. I mean, a regular full and open non-task order, non-delivery order contract, GAO hears bid protests all the time. Think of an ombudsman who's doing several different jobs, and then all of a sudden they have to make a decision on a task order or a protest. It's not a one-for-one change. There's two other provisions. 821 would outline the role of GAO on bid protests for certain contracts and would require actually the contractor to cover the cost of GAO processing the protests. So all of a sudden there'd be a bill that would be sent to the contractor from GAO should they lose. And then the third provision would just require a study 1 year after the enactment of the bill to see what the impact of bid protests are having on DoD acquisitions. That one is probably the easiest one to get done.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller. Contractors cannot be happy about this provision, especially paying costs when they file a protest. That's almost like the English tort system.
Now, GAO has already put out there a fee for filing bid protests because they're worried about people just gaming the system without any kind of penalties. So there's already that discussion is happening, and the fee is usually nominal. So I think $350. Now, that's a lot of money for a small business, and those fees potentially could be less if GAO they put out a proposed rule and get some comments back. But the point here is contractors without this authority, the fact that the Senate let it drop, let it expire, it's a big deal because while there was not a ton of bid protests, it's an avenue that as more and more money gets spent through task orders and delivery orders, it's an avenue that's been closed off. Now, let's be clear. One more thing, Tom, about this that has to be clear. DOD task orders, the ability to protest DOD task orders is still in place. It was made permanent by Congress, I think, in 2013. There's two things going on here. The provision for civilian agencies expired, And the NDAA is trying to do even more and push it back even further by getting rid of the DoD authority and moving it to this ombudsman. So there's two things at play here. And I think what's happening, Tom, is that the Senate's unhappy. There are some in the Senate who believe that this idea of bid protest authority to GAO on task orders is gumming up the works. It's causing DoD even to go to LPTA, lowest price technically acceptable, because they're worried about, well, what's protest proof? Well, LPTA is. So there's a lot of concern about just overall the acquisition system and the impact bid protests are having. That's why you're seeing these two separate but related items.
And Jason, while we have you, the other interesting thing you're writing about, too, is a new draft circular with respect to category management. And that seems like a pretty important development also.
This is interesting. Very rarely have we seen over the last probably, Tom, 10 or 15 or 20 years, a brand new circular that comes out. We've seen a lot of updates over the last year, A123, A130, just as two examples. But a new circular on category management. And this is Anne Rung, who just recently left as the Office of Federal Procurement Policy Administrator after 2 years. This was kind of her last hurrah to get this draft circular out there and get people to comment on it. But there are some concerns because really category management, this concept of buying as one, really understanding the data and making better decisions for agencies in terms of what they buy, how much they're spending on what they buy, specifically around commodity types of products and services. There's a lot of concern that this is so brand new that by putting something in a circular, is OFPP really getting ahead of itself?
The circular specifies what?
Well, the circular does a couple things. It lays out really key principles and strategies, policies, governance structures, roles and responsibilities, all around to really institutionalize this idea of category management. Again, I don't think anyone would argue that the concept of category management is a bad one. I think there's a lot of evidence that shows it is a good concept, and it can and it has saved the government money. But it's 1 year into it. So by putting it into a circular like what OFPP is proposing, the question then becomes, is it too early? Because circulars don't get changed often, and it's very difficult to change circulars.
So this is a draft circular. Can people comment on it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why OFPP is putting it out. You know, to give the Office of Management and Budget more broadly a lot of credit, they've done a really nice job of putting out major policies and then saying, give us your feedback before we finalize it. So those comments for this draft circular on category management are due by November 7th.
And does this possible new circular have a number yet, like A137?
No number yet. They number it after the fact, I think.
So now is the time for circular arguments.
Circular arguments, exactly. And comments, please.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much for that update.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
And you could read Jason's notebook online now at federalnewsradio.com.